Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the Bankers podcast series, Banking in Transition. In this series, the Bankers editors are speaking to industry experts from across financial services to explore how banking is responding to global challenges and trends, such as the COVID-19 pandemic, sustainability, and the drive for increased technological innovation. I'm Marie Kempley, the Bankers Investment Banking and Capital Markets Editor, and in this podcast, I'm joined by Armin Peter, EMEA Head of Sustainable Banking and Global Head of Debt Syndicate at UBS. Thanks for joining me today, Armin.
Thanks for having me, Marie. Thank you.
Our pleasure. In this podcast, we're going to be discussing developments in the digitalization of bond markets, particularly on the issuance side. And, you know, I think it's probably fair to say that this is an area that has perhaps historically been a bit slower to innovate in this respect than others. But, you know, having said that, we are now witnessing some pretty dramatic developments. You know, Armin, perhaps you could talk us through what have some of the key developments we have seen in this area been in kind of recent months and years?
I think you're right. Probably in the primary market, we have been slower than what we have seen over the many years actually happening in the secondary market, in particular where electronification has been at the forefront of thinking and working. Yet on the primary side, I must say, I think we often take a little bit of a hit when it comes down to perception, but lots has been happening. And I think over the pandemic, we have shown that despite the COVID environment and working from home, we have executed actually on record issuance volumes in the debt space. That being said, I think coming out on the other side, hopefully, from the pandemic, the technology has certainly made a step forward. I think the willingness by the business to invest in this part certainly will support further development. And, you know, in the meantime, I must say, the technological opportunities in the business is certainly developing. And so we have seen a lot of new technology coming forward.
Are you able to give us some specific examples of that new technology and how it's being implemented and what the kind of impacts of that are?
Yeah, I think we need to differentiate between the different parts. Yeah, so on the one hand, we have process-oriented developments, and on the other hand, we have product-oriented developments. If I just start about the process-oriented one, then there are certainly different steps in the issuance process. We can think about the book-building process, i.e. the way of executing a transaction from an announcement to order-taking to bond allocation, something which, to be frankly speaking, we have seen working very, very well already over a couple of years. I think more recently, fintech solutions and the industry is trying to identify a broader set of process-oriented technology. Legal documentation is certainly one of the focus areas. The definition of it of a common language around the legal part of an execution process has led to the fact that we've seen the development of a GLML, for example. The origination process, certainly something right now we see increasingly being interested as well. And then the marketing process around roadshows and marketing of transactions in the run-up of an execution of a transaction are other elements which fintech is focusing on. What I would say so is these kind of elements that you see fintech companies are focusing on different parts of the process are getting closer and closer, and I think key will be the interoperability of those solutions. I think one big change we can see from previous years where we had a little bit of an attitude of the winner takes it all. I think in the meantime, certainly the attitude has very much changed, and it is all down to interoperability and the desire that you can pick and choose your fintech solution during the process. I think on the other side, away from process-oriented, we have the product-oriented developments. In the very first place, certainly the tokenization of assets, the use of DLT technology, and last but not least, certainly the change of cash. Just speaking about the central bank digital cash, initiatives that are going on a global basis.
Certainly sounds like there has been a lot going on, you know, and at the risk of maybe asking you to state the obvious, you know, in terms of the benefits of these different areas of innovation, you know, are we talking around, you know, increased efficiency and kind of cost benefits as well? And I was also interested in what you were saying around that shift in attitude as well. You know, it sounds like there's a more kind of collaborative set of developments taking place here, and actually they could have a wider impact than just within one company, perhaps.
No, absolutely. You're right, Mary. I think, again, the change from the winner takes it all to the understanding that you need to do it in a collaborative and in an interoperability perspective is certainly key. The automatization, innovation, and cross-industry collaboration are the other elements that one needs to take into consideration. I think, you know, we have to do it step by step. I think it is certainly clear that from a technology perspective, much is possible. I don't necessarily think that technology is the issue. I think the challenges are certainly all around the implementation of those solutions and make them work together in what is, you know, already an existing process that works very, very well. So we can't risk to interrupt your existing processes and operability. We need to make sure that if we are shifting to this new technology with all the benefits it has, that we are not interrupting current markets.
Okay, that's interesting. Let's delve into that a bit more deeply then, you know, and you've kind of already started to talk about it there with these kind of new systems and processes coming in. You know, it does, as you say, have the potential to disrupt the kind of existing ways of doing things. You know, what are some of the kind of specific risks and you know, how can they be overcome, do you think, going forward?
I think the biggest risk is certainly fragmentation. And the lack of interoperability. On the one hand, you want to automate something, you want to be efficient. If these systems are not interoperable, and therefore, you know, banks or market participants can't necessarily pick and choose according to their internal procedures, then you certainly have a problem, and then you're facing somewhat market fragmentation. And fragmentation at some point, yeah, to the extent, you know, that it becomes an overarching theme can certainly even lead to interruption, which by far is not what the intentions are. So, you know, the biggest challenge certainly is the implementation of these technological solutions that without any doubt are available and probably in some cases already have been available, you know, some time ago. It is all about the challenges of implementing them in a way that they are not interrupting current processes.
And are these, I guess, these are risks that market participants, you know, are very much alive to, you know, and is there work kind of in place to try and discuss and come up with, you know, common standards and common approaches to these things, you know, and what is the kind of significance of that work?
In the bond market, first of all, ICMA is putting a lot of time and efforts in making sure that we are bringing together all stakeholders of the capital market, yeah, from fintechs to issuers to investors to the sell side and the brokers. So in that regard, certainly a lot of effort goes into this to bring the industry together. And I have to say that you know, the interaction with fintech companies has materially improved over the time, particularly back to the point what I said earlier on. Their stance of the winner takes it all has materially changed. So they are really keen to meet at the table and work on standards. I think the CDM is certainly one you know, initiative that is very, very promising. In the cooperation with ISTA, ISLA and ICMA, we continue to work on CDM and try to expand it away from the derivatives market as well into repo and later into bonds as well. So the desire for standards is probably the first point I would make that comes across by everyone. Without standardization, I think the implementation has a big challenge that will be hard to overcome. So we all need to work on standards.
Well, certainly a lot going on and promising that, as you say, there is this kind of industry-wide effort going on to work on these issues. Thanks so much for sharing your views and experiences with us today, Armin. And that's all for this podcast, but you can keep up to date by subscribing to our weekly podcast on iTunes, Spotify and Acast. as well as following our discussions at thebanker.com/podcast. Thanks for listening.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.